Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, December 14th, 2018. We have 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, well, if you've been listening to this show, you've heard some things about the weather. It's going to be pretty rowdy on land and over the next few days, and it is going to be exceptionally so off. Well, I won't say exceptionally because this is our winter weather here, but it is. We are in that winter weather pattern, and we are having it right now. So a little bit about the marine weather forecast. On the Columbia River bar today, seas will reach about 20 feet with breaking waves. That means that ship traffic could be halted by the Columbia River Bar pilots. So right now, as of this morning, the Columbia River Bar is on yellow status. And as I look at the incoming ships, they are all on weather permitting status, which means that they'll let them come in when it's safe for them to come in. So our three inbounders this morning are all waiting. They're waiting to see whether they can come in or not. So overall, our marine weather forecast, we have south winds gusting to 45 miles per hour, even 50 knots today, possible through early afternoon. And we're going to have seas reaching 24 feet with a dominant period of 12 seconds between wave crests. So every 12 seconds under those conditions, a wave 2.5 stories high goes by if you're out there in a boat. And that means that in between those waves, you are down in the troughs, the 24-foot deep trough between those waves. So that's a little bit sobering if you've ever been out in a vessel on the ocean where there are swells. I've been out in about maybe 15-foot swells, and that's scary enough. That's enough to get you down to the point where you can't see the horizon between the waves, which is a slightly unnerving. But usually, if that's going on, you have other things to be concerned about to take your attention so that you don't have much time to panic if you are trying to keep your boat going. So at any rate, kind of difficult conditions. Right now we have these three vessels. One of them is called the Arrieta, arriving from San Francisco, headed for Vancouver. Bentonite clay, I think, is her cargo. She'll come in when she can. The Nord Pluto is another one arriving from Japan. She's going to our second ship of the day, head to the Rice Island Anchorage. She will come in as the weather permits. And the Oak Harbor, arriving from Long Beach, is headed for the Longview Anchorage, but she's going to come in as the bar pilots determine that it's safe. So the conditions out there are kind of difficult. So as I explained yesterday on the ship report, I'm just looking at the tide information. We have, so low tide, the tide is falling right now. It's in that heavy ebb period right now. So that means that the conditions out there, if they're difficult at all, are going to be made worse by the falling tide, by the ebb tide, as it's called. And so that may have just created conditions where the pilots said some of these more underpowered ships, the smaller, older bulk carriers, just don't have the engine power and the steerage and the maneuverability to handle it if something goes wrong out there. So what you don't want is a really big ship, big heavy ship, bouncing off the bottom of the Columbia River bar. It's full of fuel. And so when you take a ship out from the open ocean where it has lots and lots of water under it, and you bring it into a place where it's very confined, which is by any standard, this is a confining place for a ship that big, you have to make sure that the conditions are safe enough to bring them in. I mean, something that I've said, and the big heavy weather is usually not a factor upriver, but just a little note of information that when those big ships are heading upriver past Astoria up toward Portland, they only have a couple of feet of water at best underneath their keels. So it's shoehorning, I've heard pilots refer to it sometimes, bringing ships in. When you have rough weather at the mouth of the river, you have to be very careful about what ships you're letting in terms of their physical ability to maneuver and be. So only the best, the most powered and well-powered ships are allowed to come in. In the Astoria Anchorage, we've got the Bulk Guatemala. She's headed for Calama at about 1:30 p.m. today. To pick up wheat. And so that shouldn't be, that kind of inland stuff will not be affected by the weather, because once you get here, as you can see, if you're in Astoria, you're looking out, it looks pretty calm out here. But when you get out in the ocean, I mean, a matter of, 15 miles, 17 miles to the west, can be a huge difference in the sea conditions. So it can be calm off Astoria and just rocking and rolling on the Columbia River Bar right there where the Columbia River meets the ocean is a huge, huge interface. Gigantic amount of water slamming into the equally gigantic Pacific Ocean. And it is a tempestuous spot. That's why it's called the Graveyard of the Pacific. So in our anchorage, we've got the Bulk Bolivia, the Federal Iris, the Sea Biscuit, the Aristides, the Global Trinity, the Pan Bicorn, and the Vita Spirit. The Vita Spirit's up by the Rice Island Anchorage. And the London Highway is heading out at about 5 p.m. I guess they consider the conditions are going to have abated a bit by then. She's got Toyotas on board. The Star Globe is heading out of Portland with Potash on board, leaving around 6 p.m. on today. Outbound, so maybe around midnight she might pass Astoria outbound. The Hanton Trader is leaving in the evening tonight out of Longview. The Pleiades Leader is a car carrier with Subarus heading out of the Port of Vancouver tonight about 9 o'clock. And the Nandu Arrow is leaving Vancouver, the anchorage there, at about 9 p.m. outbound. So I guess they figure the weather will be better then. But what's happening, you know, one of the things that I really like to look at is the offshore forecast. There's the high seas forecast is what it's called. So, we can go to the beach and see what's going on right at the ocean by looking out at it. And you can kind of get an idea of how messy that is. And it's its own specialized sort of zone right there near the edge of the continent where it starts to get shallower. But when you look at the high seas forecast, you can see what the ships are going to be dealing with when they're out there. And as I'm looking at the high seas forecast from Cape Flattery to Cape Shoalwater, so this is our area. There's a storm warning out there for this morning. And the wave heights that I'm seeing here, 26 feet, 29 feet, 27 feet, just huge. I mean, so a story, a building is about 10 feet. So when you consider you're getting up into the three-story high range of the height of the waves, it's just astonishing. And so when you think, but it is actually quite normal for here, you know, for people who are out offshore. I mean, I always like to recall that thing that the captain said to me years ago, which was that the wind is always blowing harder and the waves are always bigger offshore than it says in the marine weather forecast. So they're probably going to be seas higher than 30 feet out there for some of those ships that are dealing with things. And speaking of bad weather, I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on Susie Goodall, that incredibly intrepid 29-year-old woman who was solo sailing in the Golden Globe race, whose sailboat pitch-poled, which means that it just flew over, sort of head over tea kettle, I guess is the expression, ripped the mast off the boat. She was in 70-mile-an-hour winds, massive seas off the bottom of South America, a little bit to the west of the bottom of South America there. And it just destroyed the boat. She was lucky to live through it. She got knocked out. So this incredibly capable solo sailor who had been sailing alone on this boat since July 1st, 30,000 miles this race is around the world. She was one of 18 sailors taking part. More than half of them have dropped out. She was the only woman and the youngest participant. And so this is a real bunch of serious, serious capable sailors. And so she had to leave the boat. She got rescued by a cargo ship. And she now been returned to land, which she's probably got a lot of mixed feelings about that. If you've ever talked to anybody who's lost a boat, and there are a lot of people around here who know that feeling, or some fishermen, boats sink. It's a very emotional thing to lose your boat. It's a huge financial investment. But when you live on, I mean, that boat was her home. And she knew it very well. This is a race, the Golden Globe race from you have to really like your own company a lot because you are alone with no outside support. In this particular race, they use paper charts. They don't have electronic instruments or autopilots. They handwrite their logs. They cook with kerosene, and they only occasionally talk to loved ones. So this is an intentionally low-tech race for people who really want to challenge themselves. So in 1968, there's a man named Robin Knox Johnston who is very famous for completing this race. The year that he did it, he was the only person of all the people who completed the race. So 13 countries represented, quite extraordinary, and I'm so glad to hear that she is safe on land. Have a great weekend, bundle up, and wear a raincoat. It's going to be raining like mad. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.